Good morning, everyone. The topic, as has been introduced, is baptism through death to life. And I would like to look at the biblical principle of baptism, and particularly the symbolic meaning of it. Because if we are asked to do something, we've got to know why we do it and what it means. I've got a presentation really to help with the passages I'm going to look at, and also with the sources, so I don't have to mention all of that. The one problem I have, I tend to forget to flick on, so if I do that, please give me a notch loud enough, because I'm a bit deaf. So I'd like to start off the topic, I hope you can read that, with a definition on what baptism is. And I haven't sourced it from our own Christelphian group. It's independent, and I find it quite good because it's brief, yet it contains all that is necessary. And this statement, what we believe baptism is, reads the following. Baptism is mandatory, a visible demonstration of repentance and contrition. Christadelphians hold that baptism is the symbolic participation in Christ's sacrifice and resurrection, resulting in the forgiveness of sins. I want to work on that statement really with you and have a look, of course, what the Bible says about baptism. And the first bit of this statement talks about the necessity for baptism, and it is about the forgiveness of sins. If you turn with me, please, to Mark's Gospel. It's probably a bit small on the screen here to read. We read the commissioning of the Lord Jesus to his disciples, what he has told them to do. And in Mark 16, and verses 15 and 16, we read, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And I think from that passage we see that belief is necessary to be baptized. You can't be baptized without believing the gospel. And if we go into Acts, we are at a time now where the Lord Jesus has died, was risen from the dead, and also has ascended into heaven. And his disciples, particularly Peter, has taken up the mantle, and he preaches to the people at Jerusalem, and he tells them this gospel about the name of the Lord Jesus. And after this, he told the people responded to his message, and they said, well, what do we need to do? And that's what we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and 38. It says that now, when they heard this, they were cut in the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So Peter tells them that the appropriate response to the gospel is to repent and be baptized into the saving name of Jesus Christ. And at the end of those two passages, really, we see that there's a necessity to be baptized if you believe. And also, we want to demonstrate in baptism that we want to be part of God's family. And of course, that is driven by the fact that we realize we are sinners and we need to repent, which means that we realize we're doing things that God doesn't want us to do. And we have to repent. It's the Apostle Paul in Romans who tells us about this situation, this dilemma we are in, that we are sinners in the eyes of God. In Romans 3, verse 21 to 24, he says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So we all come to the point when we learn the message of the gospel that we fall short of what God wants us to be and to do. But we also learn in the gospel that he has given his son, and it is a gift by grace, it's by mercy, through which those sins can be forgiven. But when I opened, I said I particularly would like to look at the symbolic meaning of baptism. And if we look at one passage in John's Gospel, in John chapter 3, we read about an incident when a Jewish teacher, Nicodemus, came to the Lord Jesus at night. And obviously he regards the Lord Jesus, yet he doesn't dare to come during the day. He comes to him at night, and he wants to And he asks the Lord Jesus a question in John chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, "Rabbi," addressing Jesus, "we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He acknowledges that Jesus is sent from God. But then the Lord Jesus gives him a very, riddling, puzzling answer. He says to him in the next verse, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, that leaves you with a question that Nicodemus pulls now. How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter again the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He sees it naturally. But the Lord Jesus now comes to the point and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So Jesus tells Nicodemus, who's obviously been well-trained in the law, that there are two things necessary to get into the kingdom, and that is to be born again by water, which is baptism, but also by the Spirit. We see here two different things, and I think by water that's very clear, because baptism happens in a bath of water. But the being born again by the Spirit is something a bit more difficult and tricky. And I think it talks about the conviction. Once we set ourselves out on this road to follow the Lord Jesus, things have to follow in our way of thinking. We have to change our way of thinking. So that the two parts to baptism, really, two symbolic parts, and the one is the washing away of our sins, and the other one is to be born again in the Spirit. And I'd like to dwell on this first part for a minute, and I think it is very easy to understand that symbolically, when we get baptized and we go into the water, we wash away our sin. And that reminds us what we do, hopefully, on a regular basis, that we have wash ourselves to wash away the dirt. That's very easy to understand. And as people who believe in what the Bible teaches, we are quite particular about the way how we do baptize. We submerge people in water, and that's really what the Bible teaches. It's this Greek word, baptizo, which really means to submerge. And the Greek have a different word for dipping, and that's to bapto. And just to give you a little example of the use, I found a little essay from a Greek philosopher, Lycander, who lived about 200 years before Christ, and he tries to explain this difference between bapto, to dip, and baptizo, to submerge. And he says, think about pickling gherkins. What do? You dip them in hot water, bapto, just dip them, and then you submerge them for a long time in vinegar solution, baptize. And this Greek word, baptize, which is used when it speaks about baptism is this submerging in water, this full immersion. And as we look at the meaning of baptism, we hopefully get to understand why it talks about submerging in water rather than just dipping with water. But it is a symbolic act, baptism, to show that we want to wash away our sins. And I've put up two passages. One is taken from Acts chapter 22. If you can't read it, please turn it up, and verse 16. And it is the Apostle Paul who reflects on his conversion much earlier in his life when he was on this road to Damascus, and he's seen this light and the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And he then was sent to Ananias, and he told him about this new way. He told him about the gospel. And he also said to him, and that's what we read in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul, then Saul still, was told to be baptized and to wash away his sins, and of course call on the name of the Lord. Another passage which talks about this symbolic washing away of sin is taken from Revelation 1 and verse 5. And we read there, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." It talks about the Lord Jesus who washed us in his own blood. And I think here we see the symbolic meaning, really, because if you think about washing something clean in blood, it doesn't work. It talks about a sacrifice. It talks about a symbolic washing. Jesus died for our sins. He carried our iniquities, as the Bible says. So, baptism, really, one part of it speaks of this washing away of sin. And I'll skip over the next two slides, because I think we haven't got time for that. This deals with the baptism of the Lord Jesus, and I just sum it up very briefly in my own words. Hebrews tells us that Jesus was without sin. It's a very clear statement. Then one could ask, well, why did he actually get baptized by John the Baptist, who baptized unto repentance from sin? And it was to fulfill all righteousness in brief. We can talk about that after this talk. I'm very happy to further that. So let's go on to this the second bit that the Lord Jesus has said to Nicodemus. You've got to be born again by the Spirit. And again, we act something out. It's got a symbolic meaning, what we do in baptism. And if you come with me to Ephesians 4, we see that baptism really is a milestone in the life of a believer who wants to follow the Lord Jesus. And it is an act that we emphasize with that we are in need of forgiveness, but also that we want to be new people. And Paul says to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and I start at verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." When we get baptized, we want to show that we want to be followers of Christ. We want to imitate him, really. We want to be a new man created from God. in contrast to what we have realized, how we fail God. So in baptism we demonstrate that we want to have a share with the Lord Jesus. And if we come now to this reading we've taken in Romans, and we've read a fair bit, so I'm just concentrating on a few verses. It is the Apostle Paul here who tells the Romans about this significance of baptism, that we want to show that we want to have a share in the work of the Lord Jesus. And the work of the Lord Jesus was the way he lived according to his Father's will, but also that he put down his life, what was asked of him. And we know after he was dead, he was in the tomb, God has raised him from the dead. He lives, he sits at his Father's right hand. And in baptism we want to show that we want to have a share in that work as well. And in Romans 6 we have read there, verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul says here, we want to have a share in baptism, in his death and in his resurrection. And we want to walk in newness of life. Jesus was brought back to life again. He was resurrected by his Father. Now, I think we need to think about that for a minute, because if we get baptized, do we come out of the water different people? And I say that because I myself was a little bit depressed after I got baptized, because I thought life is going to change dramatically, and in a way it didn't, because the next day I still had the same problems with my sins as I had the previous day. So it's not a dramatic change. And we're not physically different after baptism. But we are in a different relationship with God, and we acknowledge in this act our obedience to his mercy. We accept that the Lord Jesus has died for our sins and that our sins can be forgiven. But then, from then on, it is a slow process, isn't it, which lasts a whole lifetime, to work towards the fact that we want to be like the Lord Jesus, to have this a new life. And there are a lot of setbacks on the way, so it's not the act of baptism isn't an immediate change to a newness of life. It is a milestone, and it marks a different relationship we have with God. And let's go on to a last Bible passage, which really talks about this, the hope that people who believe in Jesus have. Come with me to Colossians and chapter 2, please. And then start reading at verse 11. And it says there, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So here we see that in our baptism we were buried with the Lord Jesus, but also we show when we come up out of this water that we want to be raised again to newness of life. And of course that is something which we have to be patient, and that will happen in God's kingdom. So I hope I could show you the meaning behind the act of baptism, what it represents from the Bible. That first of all it talks about the washing away of sin, which is very easy to understand, getting into water to come out clean. Yet it is in the blood of the Lord Jesus, it was that he put down his life, that we can be forgiven of our sins. But also in this act of baptism we want to show that we want to have a share in what the Lord Jesus has achieved as this obedient child of God, who did his father's will, who put down his life, but who was raised again from the dead as the first one. And that's the hope of all the believers, that if they believe in Christ and they're baptized, that they will be raised as well to newness of life in God's kingdom. Thank you for your attention.